Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me for the show, and today we've got a very special guest for you guys. In light of him being named the spokesman of the Natter Days for Natty Light, we've got Pat McAfee on here for you guys. So we're going to hit him up. We're going to talk to him. We're going to get a couple of topics out of the way. We're going to talk to him about his recent addition with Natter Days, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about everything. Talking about some Colts, talking about some personal stuff with him, and a little bit of everything. So hope you guys enjoy the show. We'll be back in just a little bit with Pat McAfee. All right, folks, I told you we had a great guest on with us today, and this one is a first for the Colts cast. A former two-time Pro Bowl punter, first-team All-Pro. In his final season with the Colts, he led the league with an average of over 49 yards per punt and touchbacks. Not just the best punter to ever don the Colts horseshoe, former Barstool contributor, now the host of the Pat McAfee Show 2.0, regular guest on Heartland 2.0, Guinness World Record holder, stand-up comedian, commentating for the WWE's NXT TakeOver, and just signed an official deal with WWE as well. Also appearing in an NFL game as a commentator for a first for him, and one whose star continues to rise day by day, ladies and gentlemen, Pat McAfee. Pat, thank you for joining the show.
That intro was electric. I can't thank you enough for all of that. I feel like an old man after listening to all the things I've done, but I'm excited and honored to be here. Let's chat about life, my brother.
Let's do it, man. I did my best to try to match some of your intros from your show, so I'll just say that you gave me the light up on that one.
I'm happy I could motivate and inspire some magical stuff. I appreciate that.
Well, that's what kind of you're all about. So let's talk about, first and foremost, this Natty Light deal that you've got going on. For me, Natty Light was a go-to beer for spring break back in the day, man. And Natter Day's mantra is literally all about creating stories and stuff, which falls right in line with that vision. Tell us a little bit more about that real quick.
Yeah, so I went to West Virginia University. We are a natural light university, so the last couple of years of college there, once I became an adult, obviously 21 years or older, Natural Light and I had incredible times together. And I honestly got approached by Natural Light to launch this Natter Day thing with them. And I never heard a company be more magical than that one. Natter Day is basically a deliciously delightful, refreshing strawberry lemonade beer that's launching with some flamingos in a pink can to make you feel good. But it's also the mantra that any day can become the greatest day of your life, and that is honestly how I feel every single day waking up. So it was just a perfect match. It was the drink of my college years, and now it's becoming the drink of my adulthood with this mantra and motto that every day can become incredible. And to be honest, it was a perfect situation, and I'm so lucky and grateful that they approached me about it all. And the story that they chose to kind of make the lead Natter Day, when a day becomes a day, just so happens to have some Colts legends in it. And it's just a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful drink for beautiful people, and I'm lucky to be a part of the whole beautiful story.
It is really cool, and it just kind of falls in line with some of the moves that you've been making lately in what's everything going on from the time that you retired from the NFL, just continually hearing Pat McAfee just about everywhere. And just the other day we heard your friend Dan Le Batard talk about it, your other friend and one of your closest confidants, Adam Vinatieri, talking about it. What is your thoughts? And let me get this for you first. Jason Witten realizing that he was going to take fewer hits on the football field than in the booth, he's no longer in the mix. What are your thoughts on people mentioning you for the Monday Night Football broadcast?
I'm blown away by it all, to be honest. We, my team and I have been very busy. A couple of my friends from high school quit their jobs the same night I decided to retire to come work with me. We were with Barstool for a while, got a chance to learn the internet. Then we kind of just moved into our own operation. And every day we're just trying to make the world a happier place and see if we can make some money off it. So when the WWE approached me about potentially working a little bit with them and creating content with them, that was a dream come true, right? So we were so excited. It wasn't an exclusive deal from the WWE, so I could still go do other things. And Fox let me get on the microphone for a couple games, the Texas Tech Baylor game. Then they let me do the Lions Packers game in Lambeau week 17. And it wasn't until I did that in those games that I realized, like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I have a love for the NFL that spans decades, ever since I was a kid in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, watching my parents watch the games. Every single Sunday was an escape and a celebration for my family. So getting to play in the NFL with my fanhood, experiencing all the things that I've got to experience in the NFL, with also my comedic brain and observation and perspective stuff, it was just a perfect fit for me, and I fell in love with it. And I didn't know if any networks would ever take a shot on me. I still don't know if any networks would take a shot on me. But our grassroots kind of campaign we're running right now on the internet to get me in that Monday Night Football booth with the backing of Adam Vinatieri, Dan Lebatard, Sports Illustrated actually, I think, put out a little tweet for me as well. Mm-hmm. Detroit Lions, I think, did as well. It seems as if a lot of people are coming to the plate for me and swinging for me, and that means a lot. And if I get the job, I'm going to cherish it, I'm going to appreciate it, and I'm going to make Monday Night Football appointment television for everybody. And that's just kind of how it goes. And if this doesn't work out, we'll just kind of see what's next and just keep enjoying every single day, my brother.
I think it's so cool, not only for a former Colt, but an adopted Indiana guy to get some of these opportunities, such as the ones that you're getting right now. And I was always been very curious. Was there a noticeable difference, and if so, what, in terms of your approach in commentating, like stuff for the NXT TakeOver versus how you would feel in the booth or felt in the booth, I guess, for that Week 17 game? And then even further than that, like preparing for like how to do stand-up and actually for a show and stand-up.
So those are all different little mental gymkhanas there, right? Mm-hmm. So stand-up for me is I go up there roughly 90 minutes each time and tell some stories with some callbacks and connect them, but that's like piecing together a puzzle. You have to find stories that can call back to other stories and do that. It's an awesome mental exercise, actually, to kind of piece that together and then go out and deliver it to people and hopefully make them escape from their lives for a little bit and laugh with you. When it came to commentating for the WWE, when I got there, Michael Cole, who was the original guy who brought me into the WWE, basically told me, I don't want you to do anything other than what you want to do. We don't want to change you. We don't want to put any limits or restrictions on you. Whatever you would say naturally, that's all we want you to say. So he literally told me that if I was to act like anybody or act like how I thought I was supposed to act, I'd be doing them a disfavor. So he told me just to be myself, and I got a chance to do that and kind of find my niche in there. And then when they invited me to go into the booth, I had been rejected from the broadcast boot camp that the NFL offers to players and ex-players twice, right? And I don't even know if that's possible. I think they let everybody in. They rejected me twice. So I didn't go to school for broadcasting or anything like that. So whenever I was about to go into the booth, I honestly had no clue what they expected from me or what I was to expect. So I texted Michael Cole the night before, only broadcast human that I'm really friends with at this point. And I asked him, I'm like, hey, what do you think I'm supposed to do in this booth tomorrow? I know you guys tell me just to be myself and have a good time. Do you think that's what they're looking for in the Fox booth as well? Or what do you think? And he sent me back like a 3-scroll message basically telling me to just be myself and hit my keys when I'm supposed to hit it. And that is kind of something that I don't want to say I always try to do, but honestly, I am just me in most occasions, and it can be too much for some people sometimes, but I feel like if you're always genuine, that you never get caught being fake, and that's kind of what I've been my entire life. And when I get in the booth, I think there's still a lot of room for me to learn and grow as a commentator, but I don't think I'll ever be able to not be me, and all I'm trying to do is just bring a little juice, excitement, and entertainment to something, and hopefully the fans are having a great time, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it with them.
It sure seems like you are. It seems like that every time you get into a new venture, it seems that people are enjoying hearing what you have to say. You know, it's not just punter stuff. Like you said, it's genuine and stuff and talking about everything that you're visualizing from yourself, and it's all very genuine, and people love that. Couple questions real quick, and then I want to get to a question about the Colts real fast as well. What aside from being able to hang out with some of your childhood buddies and obviously some new great ones that you guys have brought onto the podcasts and so on with you, what is your favorite part of being like your sort of your own type of entrepreneur?
Well, I just think it's so cool to kind of be excited to go to work every day because I'm building something with my friends and my family. I mean, my dad and my brother work here as well. A lot of my friends from high school, and then we brought in some people from around the country, Iowa, Chicago, and Michigan. And we have just a small little business here that just enjoy waking up and building our own thing. It's a modern entrepreneurial thing. We live on social media. We are an ad agency as much as we are a production company. It's gotten to the point where we just have a good time and enjoy each other, but we also have great work ethics in this building, which is huge. I mean, everybody here is focused on the same goal. We all want this small business to take over the world. We all want to have a great time doing it. We want to make the world a happier place and make people forget about all the BS they might be going through. And when you have that type of thing happening, there's really no limits on where you can go. And every day, that's what we get to do here. And we also have a bit of a fantasy factory to work in every day. So it's not a bad place to work. And we're just trying to take advantage of it and enjoy the hell out of it.
Absolutely. And I think that I can speak for just about anybody who has any interest in podcasting or just whatever. How perfect could it possibly be to go in and shoot the shit with your buddies all day? And that's your job. And you guys are doing such a great job at it. It's always very fun, very interesting to listen to what you guys are putting out. So I know that everybody else is enjoying it, obviously. And obviously the interest in it has grown, that you guys have obviously noticed that quite a bit. So let's do the NFL analyst thing here for a sec and kind of tell me position wise where you feel the Colts need to improve the most before the 2019 season.
Okay, so I got a little inside information.
Oh,
you know,
baby.
Like Chris Ballard on my show last week.
I heard that.
He said that the trenches will always be his priority. So if I was a betting man, let's assume that somebody on the O-line or D-line gets picked up early. A pass rusher would be great. More pressure on the quarterback is always a beautiful thing. I think you can always get depth in a young culture, which is what we have right now. But I think the defensive side of the ball is probably where the draft is going to bulk up and then potentially pick up some free agents on the offensive side. And that team is going to become, I think it's going to become a really cool team to watch. I mean, with Andrew Luck feeling good again, Frank Reich and him appear to be on the same page. It's just, I think it's fun to be a Colts fan again, which is really my entire message the second half of the year last year was like, hey, this is a fun team to get around. You got a bunch of good guys playing great football, and the outcomes could be immense. We'll just have to see what happens. But I think he's going to bulk up the trenches for sure and then add some depth to that defense, and let's see what the hell happens.
Absolutely. And I wanted to ask you about this too, because and for lack of better words, vitamin M, the reality of it in terms of like pain relief for guys in the NFL, or as opposed to, I guess, more of, you know, the relaxed use of it, I guess you could say. Do you really feel that kind of thing can help guys with pain in the NFL, or is it they're really just, I mean, they just have to take certain things and that's not necessarily one of them?
Are you talking about vitamins?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird approach to it. I mean, because I know that a lot of people who use it a little more casually, I guess, I don't think that you notice it as necessarily a pain reliever.
Yeah, I think studies show that cannabis and CBD are massive anti-inflammatories.
That's right.
I think the studies all kind of show themselves how it could be. And it has to be. So the big thing is prescription pills, I think everybody realizes, is a bad idea, right? People
right.
get addicted to it. It carries into their regular life. People become dependent upon it, all that stuff. But for me, I think with the future of CBD and everything like that, I think, and also the wokeness, a lot more people are woke to the long-term effects of pharma. So I think it's going to become something that a lot of guys use to make their joints feel better and everything like that. I honestly think it's already starting to happen in a pretty big way, but they have to test for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be the first to say that I think in 10 years from now, there's not going to be a lot of people on pills except for coming out of surgeries, and CBD is going to be kind of taking that place.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that that's a great way or a great avenue for the NFL to move towards. That anti-inflammatory is massive for you guys. I mean, you can't get around that. So, Pat, man, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. Congratulations on everything that's coming your way, my man. And best of luck to everything in the future. It seems like your star is doing nothing but shining even brighter every day.
I appreciate that so much. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for all the kind words. Thanks for listening to our show. And also, thanks for plugging Natterday, the most beautiful can in beer history. with the most refreshing beer inside of it. Thank you so much, brother.
Absolutely, Pat. Have a great day, man.